if I could tell the love of God that is flooding all my heart, and the sweet foretaste of heaven that Jesus doth impart. Though if I could tell the peace and joy and the wealth he doth bestow, you would rather be an old-time Christian more than anything you know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and my life is free from sin. It's a heaven here on earth, praise God, to go to heaven in. Yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and my life is free from sin. It's a heaven here on earth, praise God, to go to heaven in.
Good morning. On our last visit with you over the air, we considered the leaven of Herod. This time I would like to go a little further and include the leaven of the Pharisees. Here it is in the scripture. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:1-2. Let us not forget that leaven is that working force within the dough which penetrates the total of it. Its form is changed. Did you ever see the dough rise so much that it overlapped the edges of the pan it was in? But then it could be taken in the hands of the baker and squeezed into a very small lump. If the pretense and profession of some people were squeezed out of them, there wouldn't be much left. This was the case of the Pharisees. What did Jesus consider the supreme virtues? Well, the love of God, of course. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is like it, love thy neighbor as thyself. So the important thing is charity or love. That is brought out in this verse. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. 1 Corinthians 13:13. In other words, charity should be the leaven or motivating force within the life. Then, what virtue would you consider next highest? This might be a little hard to come to perfect agreement on, but I would say a very important one is that of sincerity. Sincerity is among the fairest of the virtues. Jesus saw Nathanael under a fig tree where the man perhaps thought no one could see him. There he was, seeking for the approval and favor of God while all alone under the fig tree. But Jesus saw him. Listen to this verse. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. John 1:48. Jesus was judging by what Nathanael really was when he was all alone. He saw that he was sincere and in earnest. It was not hypocrisy and pretense that this man had. He was genuinely in earnest. So what was the result? Jesus promised him he would see even greater things. Friends, it is not what you may profess to be which counts before God, but it is what you really are basically at heart when you're all alone. It is what you are when you're there in the darkness and no one else knows about what you're doing or where you are. If you're sincerely genuine and a child of God with all the humility and love that He would have you to have, you'll be true to God out there all alone just the same as if you were in the light. Let us not forget the motivating force or leaven which moved Herod was his search for power and self-glory. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. They prayed on the streets to be seen of men. They enlarged their robes to look more dignified, religious, and pious. They disfigured their faces when they fasted, so men could know they were fasting. I wonder if they didn't wash their hands publicly before they ate so others would see they were clean. They may have been clean on the outside, but how about the inside? Do you remember the words of Jesus along this line? Listen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. That is found in Matthew 23, 25, 26. It seems Jesus was really hard on them, wasn't he? But notice the next verses. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now don't you see what Jesus meant when he said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? They were hypocrites. Hypocrisy puffs up, isolates, makes hard and brazen. I am reminded of the way some of the bus drivers do in South America. To them, it is cowardly to back up and give in, even though they may be in the wrong. I remember one incident when my daughter Kathleen and I were on the bus traveling from Quito to the valley. Our driver decided he was going to pass the vehicle just ahead, so he pulled out to go around him. This was shortly after we left Quito. Being heavily loaded, it took some time to get up enough speed to get around him. In the meantime, here came another oncoming bus or truck, I believe it was. Do you think the driver of our bus pulled back in line to wait until the one we were meeting had passed? No, sir. That would have been cowardly. He kept going, hoping to make it. We did make it, but it was by a narrow margin. There were a number of other American travelers in the rear of the bus, and in sheer mockery and fun, they gave a shout when we made it safely. Can't you see what hypocrisy will drive one to do? Now, in contrast to this, let us consider what was in Jesus. Would it not have been worthwhile, this is in the minds of some people now, for him to yield a point here and there and to have been in agreement with the Pharisees, even though they were hypocritical? They were already in power, and if he had compromised a little here and there, perhaps they would have accepted him. Would this have been to his advantage in winning the people? Evidently, he didn't think so. What do you think, friends? He attacked their traditions, spoke the truth and nothing but the truth, knowing they would kill him. Even though he desired disciples to follow him, yet he told in all frankness the difficulties and dangers of discipleship. It seems to me Pilate was disposed to be kindly toward him while the mob was yelling for blood, yet he would not shade the truth nor compromise. There are two values about positive love and sincerity. One of these is self-respect. Without self-respect, we degenerate and are lost. The other is God's respect. The Father who sees in secret rewards us openly. Dear ones, the thing that counts is what you really are at heart and in secret. Here's a poem, Humility. There is a grace few mortals find, a star all heaven loves to see. It is a meek and lowly mind, the gem of pure humility. No ornament on earth so rare, no jewel in all heaven's mart, can beautify a soul so fair as deep humility of heart. O God, hath e'er thy balance weighed a jewel so sublimely sweet as that pure life that's ever laid all humbly down at Jesus' feet? All earthly crowns shall turn to mold, all glittering pride and vanity, but meekness decks the soul with gold that shines through all eternity. Within my hidden man, dear Lord, that priceless ornament bestow, the sweetest gift in all the world. Oh, Jesus, keep me meek and low. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener. Should any find themselves filled with the leaven of malice and wickedness, help them to purge out the old lump and be filled with the grace and peace of God. Help us always to have the humility of heart, where you will always be willing to live in us, and thine shall be the praise and glory through our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. I hope the thoughts may be a blessing to you. May they linger in your mind all day. If you would like to write us, you may do so by addressing your letter in this way: The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now this song, Camping in Canaan by the Carver Quartet.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Praise Him
every day. I'm camping,
camping
in the land of Canaan,
Canaan.
And with rapture I survey His wondrous beauty's ground.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah.
I have
found the land of promise,
and
I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across the desert sand. But a land is safe at home where I shall not grow weary. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Praise Him
every day. I'm camping,
camping
in the land of Canaan,
Canaan.
And with rapture I survey His wondrous beauty's ground.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah.
I have
found the land of promise,
and
I'm camping happy land.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God richly bless and keep you, and a very cheerful goodbye.